So today we will dive into the second wave of the eastern side of the ocean of the nectar of devotion, sadhana bhakti. The definition of sadhana bhakti is given in the second verse of the second wave of the Eastern Division, which is found on the bottom of page 17 in the verse book. Kriti sadhya bhavet sadhya bhava sa sadhanabhida Nitya siddhasya bhavasya prakatyam hridi sadhyata. When transcendental devotional service, by which love for Krishna is attained, is executed by the senses, it is called sadhana bhakti, or the regulative discharge of devotional service. Such devotion eternally exists within the heart of every living entity. The awakening of this eternal devotion is the potentiality of devotional service in practice. Here, the primary characteristic is that one engages in the service of the Lord with the senses and the mind. And the secondary characteristic is that by such practice of sadhana bhakti, one awakens bhava bhakti. If we are engaging in sadhana bhakti, or we think we are engaging in sadhana bhakti, but we don't reach the goal of bhava bhakti, then in one sense we are not actually engaged in sadhana bhakti at all. Because the practice of sadhana bhakti should end in the attainment of bhava bhakti. Now here, Rupa Goswami says that bhava, or love of Godhead, is nitya siddhasya, or eternally present within the heart of the living entity. Love of Godhead is eternally present in the heart of the living entity. Srila Prabhupada gives the example that the child has the innate capacity to walk. And by practicing, the innate capacity is aroused. If he didn't have the innate capacity to walk, even by practice, he could not learn to walk. So similarly, if bhava was not eternally existing, or if love of Godhead was not eternally existing, then simply by practice with the mind and the senses, one could not develop love for Krishna. The love is there within the heart, and the heart has to be cleansed by the practice of sadhana bhakti, especially by the practice of chanting Hare Krishna. And then the covering which conceals love of Godhead is removed, and love of Godhead becomes manifest. There are two divisions in sadhana bhakti: Vaidhi sadhana bhakti and Raghunuga sadhana bhakti. When one follows the regulative principles, out of obedience to the spiritual master and scriptures, without any taste or without any liking or longing, it is called Vaidhi Bhakti. And now Rupa Goswami will explain about Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. He quotes one verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 2.1.5, which appears in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu as 1.2.7. Tasmad Bharata Sarvatma Bhagavan Harir Ishwara Shrotavya Kirtitavyascha Smartavyas Chechatabhayam. O descendant of Bharata, O Maharaj Parikshit, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is situated in everyone's heart as Paramatma, who is the Supreme Controller, and who always removes the miseries of living entities, must always be heard about from reliable sources, and he must be glorified and remembered by one who wishes to become fearless. So, everyone in material existence is fearful. We don't like to be fearful, but we are fearful, especially of death or any harm in relation to the body, which culminates in death. So even if someone does not have a natural attraction for hearing and chanting and remembering Vishnu or Krishna, but if he wants to become free from fear, which we all do, and if he wants to become free from miseries, which we all want, then he should engage in hearing and chanting and remembering Krishna. So, Rupa Goswami has included the verse as evidence in support of the principle of Vaidhi Bhakti, obedience to the scripture. And also because the verse mentions the three main processes of Vaidhi Bhakti, which is Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, hearing, chanting, and remembering. Now, there are so many rules and regulations. We might be confused as to what regulative principle is most important, or what regulative principles are less important. So, Rupa Goswami quotes one verse which gives the main principle of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, which is text 1.2.8 in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu on page 20. Smartavya Satatam Vishnur Vismartavyo Najatuchit Sarve Vidhi Nishedhasyur Etayor Eva Kinkara. Krishna is the origin of Lord Vishnu. He should always be remembered and never forgotten at any time. All the rules and prohibitions mentioned in the Shastras should be the servants of these two principles. So, here there are two words, vidhi, which means positive injunction, and nishedha, which means negative prohibition. So there are so many positive injunctions and negative prohibitions in the scriptures, but they are all servants of one positive injunction, which is to always remember Krishna. And all of the negative prohibitions are servants of the one negative prohibition to never forget Krishna. Now, if we follow some injunction, we will get some benefit. So all the benefit that could be derived from following all of the injunctions in the scriptures can be achieved just by following the one injunction to always remember Krishna. And all of the consequences of violating the prohibitions in the scriptures can be achieved if one violates the one prohibition to never forget Krishna. Just like if one always remembers Krishna, he will achieve the highest benefit, which is love of Krishna, which is a greater achievement than dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. So one gets the greatest benefit by always remembering Krishna. And we could say that the worst punishment one could get is going to hell. And as we will read in the next verses, if one forgets Krishna, he will go to hell. Now, Srila Prabhupada gives a very nice purport here. He says, there are many regulative principles in the shastras and directions given by the spiritual master. These regulative principles should act as servants of the basic principle. That is, one should always remember Krishna and never forget him. This is possible when one chants the Hare Krishna mantra. In Nectar of Devotion also, Srila Prabhupada emphasizes the chanting of Hare Krishna here. Therefore, one must strictly chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra 24 hours daily. One may have other duties to perform under the direction of the spiritual master, but he must first abide by the spiritual master's order to chant a certain number of rounds. In our Krishna consciousness movement, we have recommended that the neophyte chant at least 16 rounds. This chanting of 16 rounds is absolutely necessary if one wants to remember Krishna and not forget him. So sometimes devotees get the idea that they have more important service to do than chant. And they neglect to complete the rounds. But actually, if we don't chant our rounds, we run the risk of forgetting Krishna. When we were in Gorakhpur, one American young man joined us, and he was intelligent. He was new, and he was intelligent. So he questioned Srila Prabhupada that if all service is absolute, why do we have to chant 16 rounds? Why can't we just do any service? And Srila Prabhupada answered, but the boy did not accept. There was some further discussion and argument. And again, when the boy asked, if all service is absolute, why do we have to chant 16 rounds? Srila Prabhupada replied, because the Supreme Personality of Godhead wants you to chant 16 rounds. Then he said, Srila Prabhupada said, that if you want, you can just chant 16 rounds, and the rest of the day you can eat and sleep. I give you special benediction, but you must chant 16 rounds. The purport is, that we should not consider ourselves to have too much important service to chant 16 rounds. If we can only chant 16 rounds and spend the rest of the day eating and sleeping, it's all right. But don't be so busy with important service that you can't chant 16 rounds. There were many times when Srila Prabhupada perceived that the devotees were becoming too involved in practical service at the expense of chanting and hearing, and he did not approve. There was one time in Bombay, at 7 in the evening, Srila Prabhupada was sitting on the terrace, and Haridas Prabhu was fanning him. So Prabhupada said, he noticed that there was no kirtan coming from the temple at the time of arti. So Srila Prabhupada said, "Where's the kirtan?" And Haridas said, "Well, there's no kirtan. The devotees must be busy." So Prabhupada sent him, "See where they are. See what they're doing." Then Haridas came back and he said that they are nowhere to be found. They must be out preaching. Then Srila Prabhupada said that we aren't successful in Krishna consciousness by the mercy of the Lord, by pleasing the Lord, and not by personal effort.
He said that someone doesn't live in the temple, and because of the square job, he has got to work for the evening after like this. Prabhupada made a program to spiritual program in the morning and in the evening. So can he compensate for working in the evening at night and not being able to do a spiritual program before sleeping? Can he increase the time of his spiritual program during the day or at different times?
Yes.
And still make up for good consciousness?
Yes. Srila Prabhupada understood the problems of householders who were earning. And in the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in Narada's instructions on householder life, he says that one must daily associate with devotees and hear the discussions of the pastimes of the Lord. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada comments that the householders should arrange their work so that they can spend at least 3 hours in the association of devotees, hearing and chanting about Krishna. And he mentions that the 3 hours can be at a stretch, in the morning or in the evening. Even if the householder can't come both in the morning and in the evening. But here again, the 16 rounds is the most important. Because in another conversation, one disciple asked Srila Prabhupada about the position of some devotee who had to work in a factory and whether the devotee should leave the work or not. Srila Prabhupada said he can leave his job or he may keep his job. It is up to him. And he was saying that the main thing is to follow the regulative principles. Then at one stage, the disciple said, but he spends so much time at the job. By the time he comes home at night, he's so tired, he can't finish 16 rounds. Then Prabhupada stopped. It was a morning walk. Prabhupada stopped, put his cane down and said, "What? He can't complete his 16 rounds? Then he's an animal. He is an animal."
I'm a little bewildered about this point because I heard that Bhava is only comes about by mercy or by laudium, but you seem to say that it also comes by
Yes, we read that bhava bhakti is very difficult to achieve unless one has attachment for Krishna and the process of devotional service. So by following the regulative principles, one should develop some taste and attraction for Krishna and bhakti. If he does not, then it will take a long time to get bhava. No, it's not automatic. Krishna gives it. Or the Vaishnav gives it. When your desire is intense enough. But by following the regulative principles, the desire develops. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that you should be Krishna conscious. But if you're not, if you can't be Krishna conscious spontaneously or naturally, then you should follow the rules and regulations of bhakti yoga. Because by following the rules and regulations of bhakti yoga, one develops a desire to attain me. But unless one has a strong desire to attain service to Krishna, he can't get Krishna's mercy. We have to cry to get Krishna's mercy and Krishna's service. Not just by mechanical Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. We actually have to want it. And we have to feel that if I don't get it, I will die. My life is useless. I should just die. One time when we were traveling with Srila Prabhupada in India, one devotee asked him, what will be our business here? Srila Prabhupada said, here our business will be to cry for Krishna. So that unless we feel separation from Krishna and cry in the mood of separation, we won't get Krishna. We won't get Krishna's mercy. We won't get the service to Krishna we want. Yes?
Just wondering, at the time of death, did everyone attain? Like, how God said that as you engage in the moment, that Krishna calls himself in the mind as well, which you have to be blessed with. He calls himself in the mind and then he. And I was just thinking, in relation to this, that one has to, I mean, this is like really an amazing way of going.
Well, Srila Prabhupada did say that she heard what do we have to do for Lord Chaitanya to enter our minds at the time of death?
we practice, I mean, like I said, we follow in the same kind of movement and follow the process, but we may not have attained perfection.
Mm-hmm.
Then we take on the course ourselves.
We pray that he will.
Yeah.
Srila Prabhupada did say, if we chant 16 rounds and follow the four regulative principles, or follow the regulative principles, and do our best to spread the Sankirtan movement throughout our life, then we can go back to Godhead in this life. It's true. But again, there may be some consideration, because we should chant without offense. If we chant without offense, then certainly we can go back to Godhead in one life, even if we only chant 16 rounds without offense. But I don't know if I've chanted one name without offense so far. But if we can chant 16 rounds without offense and follow the four regulative principles and serve the Sankirtan movement, then certainly we can go back to Godhead. Beg the mercy of the Lord that he will help us. But later on, in Nectar of Devotion, Srila Prabhupada talks about sadhana siddha and kripa siddha. And he gives the example that generally one enters the university, and if he attends the classes and does the work, he can pass the exam and graduate, get a degree. But sometimes someone who never attended the university does some distinguished service to the nation or to the society, and he's awarded an honorary degree. So we should not expect an honorary degree. We should follow the regular process, and at the same time expect the mercy of the Lord. So, Mother Jadarani, would you like to comment?
Yeah. Especially coming from the West with fast food and everything. We like everything to be easy. But when Prabhupada writes these things, that if you just do this, and this will happen, this to that, that'll happen. It's to create interest so that it will come in. Just chant Hare Krishna and be happy. But he doesn't explain in that particular state of all the things in between just chant Hare Krishna and becoming happy. That's there in his books. But the easy promises are there to create interest so that will come in. And then the more difficult, how difficult it really is becomes explained once we're hooked. So, as it's later going to be described by Guru Goswami, the later stages of devotional service and how it's achieved and all the regulations, there wouldn't be a necessity of such things if I can just externally go on with my duties and I can go back to God. So much internal work has to be done, even if one is 95% okay, unless there's a special consideration from Krishna, then we have to come back for the next 5%. And that is explained later on. So this is to create some.
Yes. As we make advancement, we should increase our chanting and hearing. True. The purport says that in our Krishna consciousness movement, we have recommended that the neophyte chant at least 16 rounds. So she says that if we become more than neophytes, whether we may be expected to chant more than 16 rounds. So I would say yes, that as we make advancement, we can increase our chanting and hearing. And by our advancement, we can inspire others to do service. Like Srila Prabhupada said, there are four classes of persons: lazy intelligent, active intelligent, lazy foolish, and active foolish. So he said that that lazy intelligent is the best. He just sits in one place, but by his intelligence he inspires others to work. And he does so much through others. And he said, sometimes if there's a good chance, we can go to preach. So Srila Prabhupada was the perfect example of lazy intelligence. Almost all the time he was just sitting in his room behind his table. And if there was some chance to preach, he might go to the temple for an hour or go out somewhere. Then the next category is active intelligence. He has good intelligence to know what to do, and he does it. Then the next category is lazy foolish. He's foolish, and he has many bad ideas, but fortunately he's lazy, so he never does anything about them. And the worst category is active foolish. He has bad ideas and he's very active to implement them. So, as devotees, if we actually become advanced in Krishna consciousness, we can become lazy intelligent. It doesn't really mean that we're lazy, but we appear to be lazy outwardly, but inwardly we're very busy thinking about Krishna and how to serve Krishna. And by such elevated Krishna consciousness, we can inspire others to work. One time I was the temple commander of the Pandal program in Bombay. And one evening Srila Prabhupada came early to the Pandal, and the place set aside for Prabhupada to sit and meet people and rest was dirty. There were some paper cups from some drinks and just some refuse scattered about, and the sofas were not in order, and everything was messy. So when Srila Prabhupada came, I was very upset that the room was not proper. So I said, Srila Prabhupada, I'm sorry I couldn't get the room ready in time. Then Srila Prabhupada said, you are one person. How much work can one person do? Then he said that it's better to be able to control 5 asses than to work like an ass yourself. So we shouldn't fear that by increasing our spiritual activities or by increasing our Krishna consciousness that our practical service will decrease. Even if we do less practical service ourselves, but by our Krishna consciousness we can inspire so many others to do so much service. Like Srila Prabhupada, just by his Krishna consciousness or by his spiritual potency, he could just give one word and hundreds of devotees would immediately run. He could make one statement, one sentence, and a devotee would devote his whole life to fulfilling it. So the best thing is to become Krishna conscious. That would be the best way to spread Krishna consciousness also. But we should not imitate. Once Srila Prabhupada noticed that one devotee was not to be seen. So he said, where is the devotee? So I went and I found the devotee and I asked him, what's happening? So he said, I'm being lazy intelligent. So I went back and told Srila Prabhupada the answer. And Srila Prabhupada said, "Oh, I know his lazy intelligence." He said, "You go and tell him I want him to be active intelligent." So we should not artificially imitate either, but we should act on the platform which is appropriate for us and gradually advance. So we only have a couple of minutes left. I'll just give a hint about the end of the chapter, and then we'll finish it properly next time. But Srila Prabhupada said if someone doesn't chant 16 rounds, he's an animal. And it sounds like a strong statement. But whatever Srila Prabhupada said can actually be supported by scripture. And we will read that if someone engages in Varnashram Dharma, but he does not engage in devotional service to Krishna, he will fall down from his position in Varnashram. And Varnashram is the beginning of human life. Without Dharmena hina pasubhi samana, without dharma or without varnashram, one is an animal. So actually what Srila Prabhupada said is correct. But we'll discuss the actual verses on Tuesday.